Hello, everybody. My name is Steve Carlisle from Clearly Training, and I'm going to be talking to you today about the financial reporting standard for smaller entities, which is known affectionately in the United Kingdom as the FRISI. And I'm also going to be talking to you about the international equivalent, which has become known as the International FRISI, but it's not really, because it's actually the International Financial Reporting Standard for small and medium entities. And that would be the IFRSMI, wouldn't it? And that would sound ridiculous. So I'm going to refer to it as the International FRISI. It's not its proper name, but just between us, we can call it that for today. I want to talk to you first about three sections to talk to you about. First of all, I'm going to talk to you about who actually uses full international standards in the UK today. Okay, why am I talking to you about that? Well, I think it's important that you understand exactly which companies are bound to use, or which organisations, I should say, are bound to use international standards. So here they are. There's a little list. Number one, companies quoted on the UK Stock Exchange. That's companies with what they call a full listing. They have to use IFRS. Secondly, companies quoted on the AIM, that's the alternative investment market. They have to use IFRS. Thirdly, we've got public sector organisations. Now, from 2009-2010, most of the public sector is going to have to use IFRS. So that's their 31st of March 2010 accounts. The exception to that are local authorities. They've got an extra year to prepare for this, and they have to use IFRS for the first time in 2010-2011. So that's their 31st of March 2011 accounts will be under IFRS. And lastly, well, anybody else in the UK voluntarily can use IFRS. So we do have a number of examples. One good example is Bupa. They're a large organisation. They don't have to use IFRS because they're not in one of the previous groups I mentioned, but they do it because they want to follow the standards that the large organisations in the UK follow. Who uses UK standards? Well, everybody else, basically. All PLCs that aren't quoted on the Stock Exchange or the AIM, they have to use, or they will normally, I should say, use UK standards. All private UK companies will also use UK standards. Private UK companies that meet the size criteria can use the FRISI. That's the UK FRISI, which we're going to talk about later. Any other entity that I haven't mentioned, such as, for example, a charity, they also would use UK standards. So let's move on now. Now we know who has to use international standards. Let's talk about the FRISI and this beast that I'm going to call the International FRISI. As I said before, it's not really called the International FRISI, but between us, we'll call it that for today. So the FRISI, the UK FRISI, the UK Financial Reporting Standard for smaller entities. First thing is, it was updated in 2008. Why was it updated? Well, because the Companies Act 2006 came out and there were legal changes that had to be made as a result of the Companies Act 2006. Who does the UK FRISI apply to? Well, it applies to companies where the turnover is £6.5 million or less. The balance sheet total is £3,260,000 or less, and the employees are 50 or less. Now, you only have to meet two out of three of those criteria to qualify as a small company, and it's those companies that qualify as small that qualify to use the FRISI, because it's the financial reporting standard for smaller entities, remember. One other thing, you have to meet those criteria for two consecutive years. So you have to meet two out of the three criteria for two consecutive years. And by the way, if you qualify to use the FRISI, you will also qualify from April 2008 for the audit exemption. So you wouldn't have to have an audit done. So if you meet those limits, what are the legal impacts of meeting those limits? As I said, it's not just the FRISI that you can use. There are other advantages that you get from being a small company. So what are they? Well, number one, you can file an abbreviated set of accounts. What does that mean? Well, it means the accounts that you send to Companies House, that you file with the Registrar of Companies, first of all, you don't need a profit and loss account. Secondly, you don't need to file a cash flow statement. And thirdly, you can produce an abbreviated balance sheet, which is a balance sheet with a limited amount of disclosure in there. So that's the first advantage. You can file abbreviated accounts. The second advantage is you don't need to have an audit, as I mentioned previously. You don't need to have an audit if you meet those small company criteria. And the third advantage, and the one we're here to talk about today, is that you can use the FRISI for your financial statements. Now, hang on a sec. Didn't I just say that if you met the requirements, you didn't have to file proper accounts? Yeah, that's true. You can file abbreviated accounts, but remember, they're the accounts that go to the registrar. You're still going to use accounts to show your shareholders. You're still going to use accounts to show the bank, and those accounts will want to be true and fair. So the accounts that you show them, you'll prepare using the FRISI. If you qualify as a small entity and you follow the FRISI, your accounts will be true and fair accounts. So what's in the FRISI? Well, in this podcast, we've only got a limited amount of time and I can't give you the full information. I know that's sad. That's terrible, isn't it? But be aware that the AAT does do regular technical updates, which include FRISI updates. So watch out for those on the AAT's website. For now, I'm just going to give you an overview of the FRISI, give you some of the highlights, if we could call them that, of this standard. So some things about the FRISI. First of all, what does it do? It simplifies accounting for companies that meet the limits. Secondly, it allows the preparer of the accounts and, of course, the auditor to use one standard to prepare those accounts and to audit those accounts rather than using all of the UK standards. Remember, the FRISI, the UK FRISI, is a replacement for using the full UK standards. The FRISI itself is effectively, it's one document, and it effectively includes all relevant UK standards but simplified into one document. I said before that this FRISI that we have out now came out in 2008 and it is used for periods starting after the 6th of April 2008. So all the companies that are currently reporting will be using this version of the FRISI. The reason it was updated, as I previously said, was simply as a result of legal changes in the Companies Act 2006. So what does a FRISI contain if you ever looked at it? And I would recommend you look at it because it's a nice, very readable document. I know if you're preparing accounts using the FRISI, you will obviously have to look at it, but others may want to just look at it for interest, and you can download it from the ASB's website free of charge. And as I say, it is a nice, simple to use document. It's got 18 key sections. Those sections include the following. It tells you the scope of the FRISI, who it applies to. Now, just be careful with that section, because that section doesn't contain all of the size limits, because of course the size limits will change with statutory instruments increasing the size limits from time to time. So basically the scope section just tells you that this applies to small companies, companies that meet the Companies Act criteria for being small. It's then got a general section which includes stuff about going concern, accruals, prudence, what formats you use. It's got a bit on what the profit and loss account looks like. It's got a section on the how to recognise revenue, on the struggle, on fixed assets, on investments, government grants, leases, current assets, tax, including deferred tax, pensions, provisions and contingencies, and even financial instruments and share-based payments. Strange beasts like that. We'll talk about those later. It's got a section on foreign exchange, post-balance sheet events, related parties, consolidations and directors' remuneration and the directors' report itself. So, what does it say about some of those things? I'm going to give you some of the highlights now. Now, you might not refer to them as highlights, and you might at this stage be fast-forwarding me to the end, but these are the things I like to think of as highlights of the FRISI. So, what are they? First of all, on the format side, you still use traditional UK formats. So all these fancy things that you might hear about in if you've just finished your studies for the exams, all the international standards ways of preparing accounts and formats and terminology that they use, those aren't used in the FRISI. So we still use traditional profit and loss account. We still use a traditional style balance sheet. By the way, the Companies Act 2006 is written for maximum flexibility going forward. The Companies Act 2006 allows for the Secretary of State to change the way that accounts formats in the UK look by statutory instruments. So that means that, you know, the Secretary of State could, at some point in the future, change the way a profit and loss account looks. But at the moment, thankfully, the FRISI just has a traditional profit and loss account in there. Isn't that wonderful? Also, you have the traditional layout and the traditional terminology such as turnover, fixed assets, creditors due within 1 year. So very traditional UK formats and terminology there. Some other interesting points. First of all, prudence. Interestingly, in the full UK standard FRS 18, prudence is no longer a fundamental accounting concept, unlike accruals, say, or going concern. But prudence is still important. Now, when you look at the frizzy simply talks about the fact that you should be prudent. It doesn't make this distinction between it being a fundamental or non-fundamental concept. It just says be prudent in assessing asset values and liabilities and so on. There's also a little bit about the struggle. But again, because for most small companies, they won't have lots of items that are passing through reserves, it's fairly brief in its description of what goes through the struggle. There are some areas like this in the frizzy where if you had a small entity that, for example, did have a lot of reserve movements and did need to prepare a full struggle, it might be necessary for you to go and look at the full UK standard to see specifically what might go through there. Some other points. It's got a good section on revenue, a very clear section on revenue, probably an easier section to read than reading the full UK standard, which is buried away in the application notes to FRS 5. It's also got a good fixed asset section, and as an example in the fixed asset section, it's a little bit more prescriptive than the full UK standard. So it makes life a little bit easier for you. For example, on goodwill, it says you should amortise your goodwill over 20 years. It says if you revalue your assets, and of course, as we know with small companies, that will be quite unusual, quite rare. But if you do, then you should use market value. Nice and simple, nice and clear cut, doesn't give you a lot of flexibility or choice. So that's a very helpful feature of the frizzy, is that it points you in the right direction, doesn't leave you too many choices, too many things to think about. It's also got a section on pensions, and pensions, a very complex area. If you had a defined benefit pension scheme, as it's known colloquially, a final salary scheme, then that's a very complex beast to account for. Because most small companies won't have that. Most small companies, if they have a pension scheme at all, they'll have a defined contribution scheme, which is much, much easier to deal with. So the approach the frizzy takes is that in its main section, it's got the rules on how to deal with defined contribution schemes. And then if by chance you happen to have a defined benefit scheme, well, the rules are buried away in one of the appendices. So the rules are there, but the frizzy is taking the view that, you know, most companies wouldn't be interested in that. So in its main section, it's just got defined contribution schemes. It also has share-based payments in there. But again, this will be something that's quite rare for the smaller business. So the share-based payment section is very, very simplistic and simply gets companies to make disclosure of their schemes rather than using the full accounting treatment that FRS 20 prescribes. One other very complex area of accounting that's covered in the frizzy is financial instruments. Financial instruments include things like loans, debtors, creditors, investments. Of course, most companies that meet the criteria to be small will have simple financial instruments like cash, debt, trade debtors, trade creditors, perhaps a loan from the bank. They won't have complex financial instruments like embedded derivatives. They won't be using things like hedging procedures. And so the standard, again, takes a very simplistic approach and just goes through the basic treatments of debtors and creditors and basic loans. So everything's simplified. Everything is focused on what's the most likely scenario for a small company to be using. So that's the UK frizzy. What is it? It's a very simplified, cut-down version of all the UK standards. It's very practical and very focused on the bits of standards that small businesses are likely to want to use. If you use the UK frizzy, then your accounts will be true and fair. And if you want to take them to the bank to show them, or if you're having a voluntary audit on them, then first of all, it'll have been properly prepared. And secondly, the auditor who's auditing them can audit them looking at the frizzy and using the frizzy to check them against. So that's the UK frizzy. What's happening internationally then? Because I know some of you might be concerned about this international standard that you've heard about that's is for small and medium entities as well. And you might be concerned that you're going to have to use it in the UK. I've got to say to you right at the beginning that if you are a UK company entitled to use the UK frizzy, then you will carry on using the UK frizzy. This international frizzy is not going to affect you at the moment. It might do in the future, and how long in the future, we don't know. Could be 2012, could be 2013, but certainly not this year, certainly not next year. This isn't going to affect you. Okay, so what's the International Financial Reporting Standard for Small and Medium Entities all about? Well, the International Accounting Standards Board publishes very complex financial reporting standards. Those standards are used by the largest businesses in the European Union, as we've already discussed. What about the standards for the small and medium entities? Well, they didn't cover that. So they were trying to create a standard that covered other entities that wasn't as complex as their full international standards. And 2 years ago, they published an exposure draft. And they did this because they believe that, on their reckoning, 95% of all companies worldwide would fit within their definition of small and medium entities. So their full standards were prescriptive for, you know, less than 5% of the world's companies. The standard itself actually came out in July 2009. Who does the standard apply to? Well, it applies to entities that, first of all, do not have public accountability. What does public accountability mean? Well, if you were quoted on a stock exchange, you'd have public accountability. If you were like an investment company that held other people's money and invested other people's money in shares and other investments, then you would have public accountability. If you were a building society that held deposits from people, you would have public accountability. So first of all, the standard applies to entities that don't have public accountability. And secondly, that publish general purpose financial statements for external users. What do we mean by external users? Well, external users could include owners who aren't involved in managing the business, and it could include existing and potential creditors and also credit rating agencies. Okay, so that's who it applies to if you use it. And again, I must emphasize, in the UK, our accounting bodies, our governing bodies have not chosen to use this standard yet. But if you did choose to use it, they would be the bodies that it would apply to. Okay. So currently, again, just to clarify things, I think we need to keep clarifying them. Currently, UK small companies can produce frizzy accounts. And they'll produce frizzy accounts if they are small, according to the Companies Act criteria. The international standard for small and medium entities has a much wider potential usage. So it's not just for small companies. And lastly, I would say there's no UK requirement for anyone to use this standard at present. Some points of interest about the International Financial Reporting Standard for Small and Medium Entities. First of all, it gives simplified accounting for assets and liabilities and income and expenditure. A lot of the definitions, a lot of the accounting treatments are simplified for the small and medium entity. Secondly, it gives simplified and reduced levels of disclosure for the small and medium entity. And lastly, the international standard says if there's something that isn't covered in that international standard for small and medium entities, there is no requirement for you to then go and use the full IFRS standard. So if it's not in the international frizzy, you effectively ignore it. The latest news on the international frizzy and when and if it's going to come into UK accounting is as follows. The Accounting Standards Board in the UK is currently considering whether to adopt the international frizzy, the International Financial Reporting Standard for Small and Medium Entities, that is. As I said, the thinking is that even if they decide to do this, and it is an if, but even if they decide to do this, it won't come in until the earliest 2012. They're about to publish a paper in August 2009 for people to respond to give their opinions on. And you may very well want to give your opinion on whether you think it would be a good idea. If they did decide to adopt the international standard, because it's a lot broader than the UK standard, this would effectively signal the end of full UK accounting standards. So just if we look at their proposals, who in the UK would use what if their current proposals came in? Well, first of all, you would use full IFRS if you were AIM quoted or quoted on the stock exchange. We already know that. you would use IFRS, as we've previously said, if you're in the public sector. You would use IFRS for any other publicly accountable organisation. So we've already said investment trusts, building societies, they would use full IFRS. Then you'd use the international standard for small and medium entities if you were a non-publicly accountable company. And finally, you'd use UK FRISI if you're a small company. That's quite complicated, isn't it? Let's just say that again. So full IFRS for the quoted companies and AIM companies as at present, and for the public sector. You'd also have IFRS, full IFRS, that is, for other publicly accountable organisations, such as investment trusts and building societies. You'd then have the international standard for small and medium entities for non-publicly accountable companies. And you'd use the UK FRISI for the small companies, the companies that use it at present. So that's three different sets of rules. Full IFRS, international standard for small and medium entities, and the UK FRISI. Yeah, quite complicated. That's a proposal. You have the ability to comment on that, and you may already subscribe to the ASB's website, or you can go on the ASB's website and post comment when that paper comes out in August. Okay, so that's it. So basically, we've still got a UK FRISI. It was updated in 2008 for legal changes in the Companies Act 2006. Most of it has been left unchanged, and it provides a simplified version of all UK standards. And secondly, we've got an international FRISI, which no UK company has to use, but which the ASB is thinking of introducing into the UK. And if it does do that, depending on what the comments are, then that could change things in the UK quite dramatically. The big change would be that the Accounting Standards Board would no longer issue UK accounting standards. There would be no need for them to do that. And that's it for this session. Thank you very much for listening. My name's Steve Carlisle from Clearly Training. Bye-bye.